Tonight, again, we're going to do something maybe just a little bit different. The other night, we talked about the resurrection, and we've had some good response to that. The material that we covered, the things that we did, and tonight, we're going to look at God's will. God's will. So I want you to get your notebook, pen, and I want you to take some notes on this. Everybody, take your notebook, some pen, a pen, pencil. If you don't have one, remember, next time, always at our meetings, you'll need to bring that. But if you don't have one now, just give your neighbor a sheet of your paper and try and borrow a pen or a pencil. You should always have your notebook. Okay, everybody got that? We're going to talk about God's will. God's will concerning your life. Would you like to know God's will? Would you like to know what God has planned for you? Would you like to know that you're in God's will and you're headed in the direction He wants you to head? Would you really like to know that? His will for you individually? Tonight we're going to do that. We're going to show you what God's will for your life is. Boy, I used to get so excited when somebody said that. You know, when somebody began a message by saying, would you really like to know God's will? Tonight, I'm going to let you know how you can know exactly what God's will for your life is individually tonight. And boy, I'd get so excited. I'd say, man, this is it. I've been waiting on this. I've been waiting for somebody to come along and tell me what God's will for my life is, because I really want to know. And I'd get all excited, and I'd get out my paper and my pen, and I'd begin to take notes. And in just a few minutes, boy, I'd become really disappointed. And I'd say, oh, good grief. Man, I've heard this before. You're not telling me anything new. And it's the same old stuff. Pray, and God will tell you what His will is for you. Or just always read your Bible and do what you think is right, and you'll come out with God's will, or do the things you enjoy doing. And I'd come away really disappointed, because I wanted to know what God's will for my life was. Well, tonight I'm going to give you maybe a few things that you've heard before, but I'm also going to give you some very practical things to help you determine what God's will for you is, now and in the future. Is that a deal? Good. All right, let me tell you to begin with, then, that we can divide God's will into two specific areas. First of all, there's a universal will. A universal will. That involves every one of us. Let me give you some scripture verses that talk to you individually about God's will for your life. Psalm 37, verse 23. God's Word tells us that He has a specific individual will for you. You individual. Psalms 37, verse 23. And that says this: the steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. That's neat. To know that the steps that I take are established by the Lord, and I can delight in the way that God leads me. Also, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says, Ephesians 2:10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. God has His way prepared for my life, for Rod Miner's life beforehand, before I was even born. My path was prepared. The way that I could walk, I have a freedom of choice. But God is saying, your life has been planned out if you'll only choose to take that way. I know what's best for your life. And then again, in Acts 13:2, you can know that God has specifically planned some things for your life, because He did that for other people. Acts 13:2 says, and while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, you know anything about that? And fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. While they were together praying and fasting and ministering, it said to the Lord, the Holy Spirit began to speak to these people, and they were gathered together here in this room, a group of Christians. The Holy Spirit began to impress upon them the fact that they should set apart Paul and Barnabas for a special task. And the Holy Spirit is saying to many of you tonight, and will continue to say throughout your life, I've got a special task planned for you. I've got your path laid out. Will you follow it? Will you trust me? And will you do what I ask you to do? So that's exciting to know right at the very beginning that God knows where you need to be. He's got a place for you. He's got a place designed especially for you. And He wants you to be there. Let me give you some more verses that tell us that not only does God have a specific place for us, but we can know what that specific place is. He promises to tell us. And we can base that on Scripture. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. Psalm 16, 11 says, "Thou wilt make known to me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. In Thy right hand are pleasures forever." The Scripture says that God will make known to us the path of life. He promises to do that. Also in Psalm 32, 8, Psalm 32:8, "I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you." Isn't that neat to know that Jesus promises right there, that God promises that He will counsel us, that He will instruct us with His eye upon us if we're willing to be taught. And in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, probably a couple of verses that many of you are familiar with, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight." Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You might want to put a little asterisk by that, or circle that or something, because I think that's key. That's where we need to begin, because the writer of Proverbs says there, just as Jesus throughout His whole lifestyle emphasized that we need to trust Him. Proverbs says, "Trust in the Lord in every way of your life, acknowledge Him and He will direct your paths." So let me begin by saying, first of all, concerning God's general will and God's specific will for your life, the real key is surrender. Every one of us probably, I know this is true in my own case, that when I think of God's will immediately, comes to my mind the thought of circumstances, when, where, things like God's will for my life includes where should I go to college, or what do you want me to do for the rest of my life, or who am I to marry, big things like that, and that's all God's will concerns. Well, God's will envelops those things. Those things are a part of God's will, but the real key to finding out what God's will is for your life is surrender. Surrender, not so much the circumstances like where and who and when and all those things. Those come later. But if you were really serious about knowing what God's will for your life is, you'll want to know that the real key is surrender. Surrender to Him. Saying, "Lord Jesus, in all my ways I want to acknowledge You." God's will is primarily not the circumstances, but instead a state of being. A state of being. I want you to remember that. God's will is primarily a state of being. Now, what I mean when I say that could be a little confusing. I mean simply that if my life is in the state of being committed to the hands of God, then I will come to know what God's will is for me. God's will is a day-by-day thing for me. What is His will? That I trust Him, that I commit the day to Him. And if I come to the point in my life where I am totally surrendered to Him, if I am committed, if I am the feather and He is the wind, and I have no resistance to what He wants to do in my life, then I am in the center of God's will, and He will work out the circumstances of where He wants me and when He wants me and where He wants me in college, what He wants to do with my life, who He wants me to marry, all sorts of things. But my concern is not with those things primarily. If I'm concerned, first of all, if my top priority is to be committed to Him, surrendered to Him, then those other things will work out. Well, I just hope that that's really clear. And I want you to write that down, put asterisk by it, circle it, and everything. So that you'll know that the real key to discerning God's will for your life begins right there. And unless you begin there, you'll never know what God's will for your life is. That's the first step. That's the essential step. That's where it all begins. Surrender. Okay, so we've seen from Scripture that God says that each of us has a plan laid out by Him, and also from the same Scripture that He promises to show us that. So, it looks like our problem is solved, doesn't it? God has the plan. God promises to show it to us. And the real key is surrender to Him so that He can show it to us. But how is He going to do that? How? How will He begin to show us His will? Now, let's pick up with the universal will. We started there just a minute ago. I just wanted you to get the key. The key is surrender. Surrender to what? To determine, first of all, God's universal will. Now, that includes everybody. Universal means everyone. Every one of us in this room is included in God's universal will, and that universal will is the same for everyone in this room. You and I have the same protection or covering of God's universal will. What is that? And how can we determine it? First of all, we can determine what God's universal will for us is by the use of the Bible. By the use of the Bible. Did you know that perhaps 85 to 90% of God's will for your life is already written? It's written in God's Word. Write that down. Did you know that perhaps 85 to 90% of all that God wants you to know about His will for you has already been given to you? It's in His Word. Boy, so many times we have questions about God's will. What does He want me to do? What does He want me to do in this situation or that situation? What does He have in mind for me? And we run around asking questions and we never, never look in His Word where He's written it out for us. For instance, some of you gals or some of you guys, maybe you seniors or you know, you're getting out of high school and you've been dating, say you gals, this really neat guy. Oh, he's so neat, but I'm really wondering whether I should marry him. He's a nice guy, and he's really considerate, and, you know, he's nice looking, and he played football at school and all these neat things, but he's not a Christian, and he's just really not the spiritual leader in our relationship. But he's really a nice guy. You don't even have to ask that question, because it's not God's will for you to marry him. It's already written out in His Word, because His Word tells us that we should not be yoked with an unequal or an unbeliever. The answer is there. We don't even have to question that. God's given us the answer. So first of all, we need to keep in mind concerning God's universal will for us that we need to search the Scriptures. Now that involves several things. It involves daily study. Many of us use the hit and miss method when it comes to finding answers in God's Word. Well, we come up with a problem, and we run in, and we pick up our Bible, and we open our Bible, and it falls open, and we put our finger down somewhere, and we read, "Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, with no one passing through, I will make you an everlasting pride, a joy from generation to generation." Well, that doesn't make much sense for the answer concerning God's will for my life. So we flip on over here, and we end up at Isaiah 17, and we read something similar, and we just thumb through, and we never find any real answers. Or maybe like the guy that opened his Bible and fell to the passage that said, Judas went out and hanged himself. And he thought, well, you know, that's God's will for my life. He said, I'll try it one more time. So he opened his Bible again, and his finger fell to the verse that said, whatsoever thou doest, do quickly. So he said, well, you know, maybe that's not quite right, so I'll try it again. So he opened it up, and his finger fell to the passage that said, go thou and do likewise. So, you know, the guy was left in a real turmoil. What does he do? That's no way to find God's will for your life. God's will can be determined from His Scripture by daily study. Daily study. Where does that take us back? To quiet time. Daily spending time in God's Word. Do you see how it begins to fit together? Daily spending time in God's Word. As you're consistently reading God's Word, He's going to point out things to you concerning God's will for your life. Because as He's dealing in your life concerning a matter, boy, it just seems that everything you read in His Word points to the answer. Many, many answers. Just about 6 or 8 months ago, I was faced with a really important decision in my life, probably one of the greatest decisions I'd ever had to make since becoming a Christian. And I really began to search God's Word for an answer. And I was amazed. I really didn't want to do what I thought God was asking me to do. And I was in a real tough situation searching for His Word, or searching for His will. So I began to search His Word. And he showed me so many things. You know, in a letter I got from a friend, they shared with me a passage of Scripture that said, wait on the Lord, trust in Him, and you'll renew your strength. From Isaiah chapter 40, renew your strength. Boy, I'd been tired, and I hadn't been waiting on the Lord. And that was, right from His Word, an answer that I needed. So I began to wait on Him. I began to trust Him, and I began to search His Scripture. And I came up with promises from His Word that dealt directly with things that I was dealing with. James chapter 1, verse 5, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men freely and upbraideth not. God promised to give me wisdom. I said, boy, that's a neat promise. I can claim that. And I began to write these things down. And the more I studied every day, God gave me a new verse of Scripture, and it seemed to all be falling together. And God was pointing right toward the fact that I needed to trust Him. And each of these Scriptures hinted at the answer He really wanted from me. And He was conditioning me through His Word to do what He was leading me to do. I really didn't want to do it. But His Word kept pointing back, right straight back at the answer that I knew He was giving me. And He brought me through His Word to a point that I had to surrender to what He asked me to do. So His Word is vitally important, but vitally important only as we study it daily, in a quiet time, and also in a Bible study setting. Okay? God's Word, important. Now, what is God's universal will? If it includes every one of us, what are some of the things that it includes? It includes the fact that He wants every one of us to become Christians, all people to become Christians. That's God's universal will. And then on top of that, for you individually right here, you say, I'm already a Christian. How does God's universal will affect me? As a Christian, His universal... Just wash my mouth. Can't do a thing with it. His universal will includes the fact that He wants you to become like Jesus Christ. He wants you to become conformed to the image of Christ. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. Lays out for us God's universal will for our lives as Christians. That's the same will. His will is the same for every one of us in here, to be conformed to the image of Christ. So the universal will of God is determined by Bible study, by the use of God's Word. Perhaps 85% of all that God wants us to know has already been given us. We just need to study it, need to know what it has to say. And then secondly, God's universal will can be known through what I call a sanctified common sense. Sanctified common sense. That's simply a mind and common sense that has been saturated by the presence of God. Sanctified. Brought under His control. God has given each one of us a mind. He's given us the ability to think. And He's given us the ability to use our thoughts creatively and to tune in to some really practical things, and He expects us to use them. But, let me caution you, we can use our minds effectively to determine what God's will for us is only as it's bathed in the presence of God. That's sanctification. Allowing God to mold our minds and our thoughts. Simply saying, God, my mind can become Your tool for You to use in helping me to determine what Your will for is in my life. Sanctified common sense. Now, common sense involves several things. Your mind and your preferences. What do I prefer to do? Now, that's, there again, tricky. Sometimes what I prefer to do is not what God prefers for me to do. But it gets us back to the real key. What is the key? Surrender. Am I really surrendered to what God wants me to do? Do I really want to know it? Do I really want to know? God's will is not like going to the shoe store and trying on a pair of shoes to see if they fit, to see if they look nice, and to see if we really want them, and then we'll agree to take them. God's word, or God's will for our lives, is there, but we've got to want it. He doesn't just hand it out for us to try it on. Surrender. If we've come to the point where if we're first surrendered and say, God, anything You want me to do, I'm ready, then He'll begin to reveal it. And then He can use our mind and our preferences. What do you enjoy doing? When our mind is sanctified by His presence. And then also that includes our basic talents. Where do you have some real talents? God wants to use them. God can use them. What do you enjoy doing? I don't know that one of my basic talents is speaking, but that's what I enjoy doing. And God has called me to speak. And I like that. I enjoy doing that. That's where I'm happy. God had to change some of my desires in that area, but that's where I'm happiest now. God's universal will, that includes every one of us. Sanctified common sense, which must fall under the guidelines of the Word, of God's Word, and then, of course, the Bible, God's Word, which kind of is an umbrella over that. That's the universal will. We can push that off now. That's included. But now we want to get to where it hits you specifically, right? You want to know about God's individual will for your life. So that's the second part of God's will. God's will can be divided into two areas, we said. Universal will, and secondly, the individual will. The individual will. Not too long ago, there was a ship that was trying to come into Jacksonville, Florida. And those of you from around the Jacksonville or St. Augustine area are familiar with the ports there. And you may have read about this ship in the paper. It stayed on the beach for, a month and a half or so. It was going up the beach toward Jacksonville, and what he needed to do was turn up the St. John's River and go into the port right there on the Bay Street area of Jacksonville, right into the harbor and where they had the loading docks and unload his merchandise. But something happened in the navigation of that ship. Some guy really didn't know what he was doing, and he saw some lights he thought was Jacksonville, and they really weren't, and he turned in and wound up on St. Augustine Beach. Just whoosh, you know, this big freighter right up there on the beach. Now, you can imagine what that did. You know, here's a huge freight ship that should have been in the harbor in Jacksonville where there was deep water, where it was safe for him to travel, and this bumpkin ends up on the beach where people swim. Well, he sunk down in the sand and he couldn't get out. He was stuck. This guy had been misled, though, because he followed the wrong navigational route. He ended up in the wrong place. So as we begin to consider God's individual will, we need to have some navigational points for us to follow, because if we don't, we'll run aground and we'll be stuck. We'll be in sad shape. And it may take us a while if we ever decide to really get things straightened out as far as God's will is concerned, just like this ship. It may take us a while to get out of the position that we're in and kind of backtrack. And we may come out injured in some areas. So we want to know what those navigational lights are. We want to know what we need to follow in order to determine what God's individual will for our lives are. F.B. Meyer, who is a writer and who is a preacher, theologian, a little bit of everything, wrote one time about an experience that he had coming in on a ship, much like this freighter that ran aground in St. Augustine. And as he was standing out on the deck, evidently the captain or the pilot was a friend of his. He'd gotten to know him. But they were standing out there, and they turned into the harbor. And it was a very narrow harbor, very narrow channel, and a very dangerous one. And Dr. Meyer was standing there with a pilot who was up on the upper deck watching and navigating the ship through. And as they moved in, it was completely dark. He watched the harbor ahead, and he asked the pilot, he said, "How do you know exactly when to turn in this channel, in this harbor? I know that it's a very narrow channel, very dangerous one, and I know that if we went either to the left or the right a few degrees too far, that we would run aground and possibly endanger the ship and maybe even our lives. How do you know when to turn into the center of that channel?" And the pilot said, "Well, look out across the water into the channel and tell me what you see." And Dr. Meyer moved, and he looked out across the channel, and he saw three lights, three green lights. He said, "I see three green lights out in the channel." He said, "Yes, that's right. Now I want you to move over here where I stand to the center of the ship, and I want you to watch it for just a few minutes." And he stood there and he watched the ship, and the ship began to turn and moved, and he said, "What do you see now?" And Dr. Meyer said, "I believe that it looks like now only one green dot, only one green light right out in the center of that channel." He said, "That's exactly right." He said, "There are actually three lights out there. You saw those. But now, when we move into the center of the channel, what my job is to get those three green lights lined up so perfectly that they become only one. And when we're lined up so that those three green lights look like one green light, we can know that we're right in the center of this channel and there is no danger." I think that God gives us some navigational lights that we can use, just like Dr. Meyer saw that night going into that channel. Well, we have names for ours. I think we have three of them. The first one we have is the Bible. The Bible. That gets us back to God's Word again. We talked about that already, but I want us to say a few more things about it. First of all, God will never lead you to do anything contrary to His Word. God will never lead you to do anything contrary to His Word. If you feel that God is leading you to do something that's contrary to Scripture, you'd better check out who's leading you. Because God wrote His Word for us to use, and He doesn't lead in any way contrary to what this says. That leads us back to the fact that we need to know what this says. Because how are we going to know if God's leading, or if we think we're being led contrary to the Scripture if we don't know it? Daily study. Secondly, begin now to search for related promises and Scripture. If you're serious about determining what God's individual will for you is, right now begin searching the Scripture. Bible study again. Getting to know God's Word. And as you find a promise in God's Word, like I did and like I have and I'm sure I will in the future, such as, say, for instance, the one in James that I shared a minute ago. That was a promise for my life, and I underlined it. And in my own Bible, I do this. You may want to do it differently. You may want to make a sheet of these. But I just put out the date out there beside that particular Scripture of when I claimed that promise in His Scripture concerning my life. Wrote that date out there. But begin to search God's Word, whatever method you use, for promises from Scripture. Then thirdly, ask God's wisdom and seek it. Ask God's wisdom and seek it. He's already promised in James 1:5 to give us the wisdom. Ask Him for it and really seek it. Be serious about seeking God's will and His wisdom for your life. The Bible. God will never lead you contrary to it. He has some promises. Find out what they are and seek His wisdom in dealing with them. That's the first light that we have, using God's Word. Secondly, our second light is circumstances. Circumstances. Now here's where it gets a little tough, because sometimes we want to base our entire decision on the circumstances. That's much easier to do, isn't it? I have a friend who was caught up in some really adverse circumstances, and yet he knew it was not God's will for him to leave in the situation where he was, because everything he began to read from God's Word and everything he felt like God was leading him to do pointed to the fact that he needed to stay. He wanted to leave. The circumstances were not good. But he kept coming back to the passage in James 1 that I've already referred to 3 or 4 times, which said, don't try to squirm out of your problems, but instead allow God to work through those problems to develop patience and character in your life. So the circumstances told him to do one thing, but God's Word and the witness of the Holy Spirit told him to do another thing. So watch the circumstances. F.B. Meyer said that when the three lights lined up, when they looked as one, then they were in the center of the channel. The three things that I'm giving you right now have to line up to look and to point in the same direction, or you need to check. Seriously look to see whether it is God's Word or not, God's will or not. So the Bible and then the circumstances begin to fall into line. Now, it's not easy to determine the circumstances sometimes. And many times we want to base our entire decision, 99% of the basis for our decision comes from the circumstances. That's wrong. The circumstances may refuse certain activities. The circumstances may limit you from doing some things. Right now, some of you say, God has called me to preach. He's called me to preach full time. Circumstances may limit you from that. You know, you may be 16 years of age and feel that God is leading you to preach full time just to quit school and just take off. When the circumstances limit you from doing that, you just can't quit school and you can't take off from home. So that's kind of maybe out of line with what God wants you to do, right? Circumstances. Be sure to weigh them in light of God's Word. Not too long ago, it's been about a year or so ago, I moved to Jacksonville, Florida. And after being there for a while, I began to try and set up some things around in the community, working with high school students. And I went to one of the high schools, and there the principal told me that, I'm sorry, we can't, or excuse me, someone at the school told me that I could not get into the school to eat lunch with high school students and just to be around them. They said it was impossible. But I felt like it was God's will for me to be there. The circumstances seemed to be closed. The doors seemed to be closed. And I said, well, I feel like God wants me here, and I began to pray toward that end. And I found, as I searched God's Word, as I searched the Scripture, I found a passage of Scripture in Proverbs chapter 25, that said that the heart of the king was like a river in the hand of God, because God can turn that river anywhere He wants it to go. And that was a promise that I could stand on. And I began to pray, Lord, the heart of that principal and the heart of that school system is in Your hands, and I pray that You'd turn it to where I can be, where I feel like You want me to be. And I began to pray on the basis of that scripture that I had found. Now, if I'd never searched the scripture, I wouldn't know how to pray. But it was there in scripture, and I could pray. Really stand on that. That was a promise in God's Word. And so I began to pray concerning that. And I went to see the superintendent of schools, of high schools. And he said, no, you can't go into the schools. I'm sorry. And still, I felt that God wanted me there. The circumstances seemed to say that it was all closed. And before I left, the superintendent of schools did say, it's up to the individual principal. So I was excited about that. And I went back home and I began to pray for that principal. I found out his name and I began to pray for him specifically. And I prayed for opportunities to be with him. We had appointments set up, and always something would come up where he'd have to miss that appointment. And I began to pray harder about it. And still standing on that scripture and saying, Lord, I believe You want me there. We finally had an appointment together, and I began to just explain to him, and I won't go into all the details of what went on, but it was a real miracle of how that thing worked out. And he said, man, after I'd been in the school, been coming and visiting for about a month, he stopped me in the hall one day, and he said, I'm just glad you're here. I'm glad you come over, because I know that you care about these kids, and you really want to see some neat things happen to them. You really want the best for their lives. The circumstances seemed to say the situation was closed, but God's Spirit and God's Word seemed to be leading in a different direction. So God can close doors and God can open them up. You need to place the circumstances in the hands of God, but evaluate them when it comes time to search for God's will concerning an incident. So the circumstances, that's a little tough sometimes to try and work into God's will. And then thirdly, the third light we look at, first of all, God's Word, secondly, the circumstances, and lastly, the inward pressure of the Holy Spirit. How do you describe the leading of the Holy Spirit? Perhaps the best way for me to describe the leading of the Holy Spirit is just simply to say it's that little want to in your heart. Deep down inside, that is unmistakably God speaking to you. Continually bringing to mind the things that He wants you to do, bringing it to your mind, to your thoughts, and to your heart, as only the Holy Spirit can. It's like a little inward pressure that's there. It's that same pressure that I experienced when I was 8 years old and I knew God was speaking to me about giving my life to Him. It was that same pressure that I experienced even as an 8-year-old boy as God began to deal with me about being a minister. Well, that scared me very, very much. I can remember even quitting at times praying. I'd stop praying because it scared me so much. That's the last thing I wanted to do. I was so frightened of doing that. And yet the inward pressure of the Holy Spirit just continued to work in my life, and He never left me alone. And I ignored Him as best I could until I was a freshman in college. And at that time, God's still dealing in my life as He had all those years, the inward pressure of the Holy Spirit saying, I want you to do something besides what you've planned to do. The inward pressure of the Holy Spirit just would not leave me alone. That's something that is really hard to describe, but you know, as a Christian who is serious about determining God's will, you know what the inward pressure of the Holy Spirit is like. So when the Bible, the circumstances, and the inward pressure of the Holy Spirit began to point in the same direction, you can begin to be sure that this is probably God's will for your life. That's kind of a wishy-washy statement, isn't it? You can begin to be sure that this is probably. All right. It is pretty, you can be pretty sure that this is God's will. I'm trying to say, keep from saying you can be sure that this is God's will for your life. But you can just be almost sure that this is God's will for your life. When? When the Bible, When the circumstances and inward pressure of the Holy Spirit point in the same direction, when they seem to be pointing at the same thing. Now, if you feel that God's leading you in one direction and the Bible speaks specifically against that, that's not God leading you. If you feel God leading you in some direction, and maybe you see that from maybe the circumstances, and the inward pressure of the Holy Spirit does not give witness to that, and the Bible does not, that's not God's will for you. The Bible, the circumstances, the inward pressure of the Holy Spirit point in the same direction. Now probably the weakest link in that chain is the circumstances. As the Bible and the inward pressure of the Holy Spirit point to that, circumstances can be overcome at times, if that's God's will for you. With those three things, you can begin to determine what God's specific will is for your life. And you may be saying, boy, I thought I was going to get more than that. But let me say that the real key begins with surrender. With surrender. Don't wait. Don't wait years from now to begin to determine what God's will is for you. I waited in a lot of areas of my life, and it's just been in the past year or so that I really got some things straightened out as far as His will for me, and really began to realize that God's will was more a state of being than circumstances. I found myself guilty of saying, well, this is just a stopping point right here, because one day in the future, one day, I'm going to be in God's will. Have you ever said that? One day, I'm going to be right where God wants me, and then, man, I'm really going to do what He wants me to do. But right now I'm in school, and right now I'm working, right now I'm doing this and that, and well, it's just hard to do. But this is not God's will. God's will, gang, for you is today, right now. And you can be in the center of God's will tonight. How? By being totally surrendered to Him. And if that's the attitude of your heart, then God will lead you through His Word, through the circumstances, and through the inward pressure of the Holy Spirit to determine some specifics concerning His will. But let me caution you about some mistakes very quickly. Some common mistakes that we make. First of all, it's a mistake in thinking God's will be the opposite of what I want to do. Let me give you some scripture concerning that. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. Psalm 37, verses 4 and 5. Does anyone know what that says? That says, if you'll commit your way to God, He will give you the desires of your heart. I like that promise, because there are some things in my heart that I really want to do, that I think that I'd really be happy in. If I commit my way to Him, He's either going to give me the desires of my heart or change my desires. But one way or another, I'm going to be happy at doing what He wants me to do. Commit your way to God, and He will bring you, He will give you the desires of your heart. So it's a mistake to think that God's will be something I don't want to do. It's also a mistake to think that in determining God's will, we throw out all reason and all logic. For instance, one day you'll get married. You guys, this is true especially for you, not that especially that you'll get married, but this illustration would apply especially to you. When you get married, it would be stupid for you to say, let me pray about whether I'm going to feed my wife or not. Let me pray about whether or not I'm going to support my wife. Logic tells you, simple reasoning tells you that you are to support your wife. So when we go to determine God's will, we need to think a little bit and reason some things out. We don't throw away all logic. Thirdly, it's a common mistake to depend upon signs, saying, Lord, if You want me to be a doctor, when I walk out of this building tonight, I want to see 3 falling stars before I get back to my dorm. And really expect that. When we don't see them, we say, well, that's not God's will. Don't depend upon signs, and don't test God according to signs. That's a mistake in determining God's will. Fourthly, it's a mistake, commonly a mistake, to think that God's will is always the wild and bizarre things, that fireworks will go off and we'll see all sorts of neat things happening that characterize God's will, that it's just going to be an earth-shaking deal. God's will may be for you to be a simple housewife someday, and you won't see very many fireworks go off when that happens. It may be just kind of, you know, an everyday kind of experience, but you'll have real peace and joy in that because that's God's will for you. Fifthly, it can be a common mistake for us to determine what I will do for God. What I will do for God. I won't do anything for God. Instead, it should be, what do you want me to do, God? Not what I'm going to do for God, but what do you want me to do, God? And then another common mistake, sixthly, is pulling verses out of context. We talked about that a few minutes ago. Just opening the Bible and pulling things out and not getting the context that they fall into. Seventhly, it's a common mistake to think that if we're in God's will, that everything is great. Well, I just don't like to see these guys that stand up and say, man, I became a Christian and wow, everything's great. And they've got this big happy smile on their face and they say, I'm just happy all the time and nothing ever goes wrong. And boy, you just ought to become a Christian too because you just never would have any problems anymore. And it's the most terrific thing I've ever seen. Well, that's just not true. It is the most terrific thing that I've ever experienced, but I sure have some problems and I'm not happy all the time. All the time I have a deep joy in my heart, but sometimes it's hard to find. It really is. Some of you weren't very happy today when you had to walk home from the nursing home. I wasn't very happy when I found out that I had caused you to do that. And if you saw me whip up out there and jump out of the van to walk back with you, you didn't see a real big smile on my face. Because I wasn't real happy about that. But at the same time, I have that deep joy in my life. Becoming a Christian, being in the center of God's will, doesn't remove all problems, and everything is not great all the time. And it's a common mistake to think that the call into the ministry is the greatest call that God can give a man. That's a common mistake. My call to preach, Bill's call to preach, Barry's call to preach, is no greater than the call of this guy. If he's a Christian and he knows he's in God's will, that will come in maybe this week and sweep this floor. He's in the center of God's will. To be a minister is not any kind of a greater call than anything God calls you into. Now, that'll be a little different than what you'll hear sometimes maybe at your church. I know I grew up with the idea of thinking, man, that the greatest call God could have for a person's life was to be a missionary to Africa or to be a pastor. That's just not true, gang. That's no more special than God calling you, one of you girls to be a housewife, one of you guys to be a dentist, one of you guys to be a plumber. Whatever He calls you to do, man, if it's a plumber, you plumb for God. That's where He's called you. And if you're in the center of His will, you're vitally important and you have no more greatness in the eyes of God or no less than anybody else. Those are some common mistakes. And very quickly, let me give you some conditions in order to know God's will. And I want you to write these down. Conditions. You say, I really want to know what God's will is for my life. How can I do that? You can do that. You can begin to do that under these conditions. First of all, a condition of trust in God. Trust in God. Have you heard about the guy that was driving the Model A Ford, one of the very first Fords that was produced? And he was driving down the road and it broke down on him. He pulled off the side of the road, couldn't get it started, didn't know what the problem was. He'd raised the little hood on the side there, was tinkering around. Did Steve tell you about this the other day? It's tinkering around under the hood. Another little Model A just like it. All of the first Model A's that they built were the same color, the basic black, you know, everything looked alike. He tooled up in his Model A Ford, and he pulled up beside this guy. He said, what's the problem? He said, I don't know. I can't get it started. It's quit on me. So the guy in the second car, the second driver, got out, went around, tinkered under the hood of the car for a few minutes. He said, try that. Guy went around, got behind the wheel, and the second driver cranked that thing up, ran perfectly. So he shut the hood and went around and got in his car and started to pull off. And the driver of the first car flagged him down and said, wait just a minute. I just want to thank you. I appreciate you helping me out here. And he stuck out his hand and introduced himself and he said, what's your name? The driver of the second car said, my name's Henry Ford. He had made the car. He had been the one that built that car. So he knew what was wrong with it. He designed it. and he knew what was best for it. Wow. God made you. Tommy talked about this the other morning. God made you individually, just the way you are. And he knows what's best for your life. So until we begin to trust him, we can't have what he knows to be best. Trust in God is the first condition. Second is the condition of openness, being truly open to what God wants you to do. My problem when I was 8 years old through the time that I was a college freshman, 19, 20 years old, my problem was that I was not open to what God wanted me to do. I had my life mapped out. I was going to another college, a different college from what I ended up going to. I was going into a medical career of some sort, and I just, boy, I had the whole thing mapped out. And that's not what God wanted me to do, but I didn't care. I wasn't open because I didn't want to do anything but what I wanted to do. Secondly is openness. Be open to what God wants you to do. Thirdly, the third condition is faith. Faith. Read James 1, verses 5 through 8. James 1, 5 through 8. Faith. A fourth condition is willingness to follow. Willingness to follow. Years ago, a little boy who lived on a farm with his family had to go out to check some things in the barn just following a real big storm, a thunderstorm like we're having here occasionally in Florida. The weather had been warm and the storm came up, a lot of lightning, thunder, a lot of rain fell, and it knocked the power out. This boy had to take a lantern. His dad asked him to go out to the barn and to check on the livestock in the barn to make sure they were okay. The little boy, just about 10 years old, took the lantern, lit the lantern, and he was scared. The wind was still blowing, and it whistled through the trees, and it was one of those eerie nights after this storm. And he started out the back door for the barn with this lantern. And he got just a few steps out into the darkness, and he was all alone except for his little lantern that didn't have very much light. And he turned around, and he ran back in. He said, "Dad, looks like everything's all right out there." Checked on everything. His dad said, "Son, you didn't go to the barn, did you?" He said, "Well, no, sir, I didn't." He said, "You see, I don't have enough light to get out there." His dad said, "Yes, you do. You've got enough light to take one step at a time." Well, that's what God says to us sometimes. We've got enough light to take one step at a time. But the key is our willingness to follow. When he shows you what you need to do, don't sit around for the rest of your life waiting on step number two. He may give you step one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Nope. It's hard to say how many steps he'll give you to begin with. Or he may give you one step. And you've got to be willing to take that step. And after you take it, just like that little boy, when you take the first step, there's going to be light enough for you to take the second step. You launch out on faith and a willingness to follow him in what you know to be his will, one step at a time. And then, lastly, is a sincere obedience. Sincere obedience. Ready to obey God no matter what he asks you to do. A young man in high school was asked by his father to read a book. He said, "Son, if you'll read a book, we'll get you the car that you've been asking about." And the boy said, "Well, you know, I don't know whether my dad's just pulling my leg or not." The boy had been after a car, and his dad said, "Well, son, read the book. Read the book." The boy took the book, and he kept it around his room for a long time, you know, like you sometimes do with things your parents ask you to do. You just keep putting it off and putting it off. And he never did read that book, and finally came to his dad one day several months later, and he said, "Dad, I think I really need a car, and I think I deserve a car." His dad said, "Son, have you read that book yet?" "Well, no, Dad, I just hadn't gotten around to it. I hadn't had time, but I really think I deserve that car, Dad. I really want that, and I think you owe it to me to give it to you." His dad said, "Come here, son, I want to show you something." He went back to his room and he picked up the book and he turned to the last page on that book. And on the last page was a check, a blank check, signed by his dad for a brand new car. All he had to do was finish reading the book. And he said, "Son, if you'd done what I'd asked you to do, then you'd had what I think you deserve, but not now." A willingness to obey. We don't understand what's ahead all the time. But when God asks you to do something, sincere obedience is the key. Obey Him. Unless you're willing to obey Him, you'll never know what His will for your life is. It may not be great and grand and glorious, you know, what we think it ought to be. We may not be the second Billy Graham. But wherever it's going to be, we're going to be happy. because we're in the center of His will. Only if we obey, if we do what He asks us to do, with no questions asked. How many of you are excited about determining what God's will is for you? I am. I'm excited to know that tonight I'm in God's will. And the next week, and probably even tomorrow, He's going to show me more about what that involves. But I can know tonight that I'm right in the center of His will. When I leave here in August, I'm just not sure where I'm going to be. Right now, I've been living in Jacksonville, Florida. My furniture is packed and stored for the summer, and I'm going to be moving somewhere. I'm not sure. I may still be in Jacksonville. I may be moving somewhere. I don't know. But God has given me a real peace about that, because I know that He's going to show me in time. So right now, I'm in the center of His will. I don't know. New things will be seen by maybe next week, maybe another month, maybe 2 months. But I'm content, just day by day, to be in the center of His will and allow Him to show me. Surrender and a willingness to obey and trust in Him are real keys. Let's commit that to Him. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You have an individual will mapped out for every one of our lives. Thank You that You not only have that mapped out, but You want very much to show that to us. And that in fact, You've already promised to show that to us. We thank You for that. But Lord, we recognize also that with that promise comes some conditions. The condition of faith, trust, willingness to follow, obedience, and asking for wisdom in light of the Holy Spirit, God's Word, and the circumstances. Lord Jesus, give us real wisdom as we seek to discern what You want us to do. We thank You. We're excited about knowing that for each of our lives. Thank You for the challenge that it presents. And thank You for every life in here. Your will concerning them, each one of us, is a little different. Thank You for that. Thank You that we're going to know what that is. Because You want us to know. You love us that much. You want the very best for us. We thank You for these things. In the name of Jesus. Amen.